Tonight on The Rundown, middle-aged Diddy settles out of court after accusations of essay of teenager Cassie surface. You'll see why I said that later. Earlier this week, I took my kids to see Wish, and a lot of people are wishing that it was a better movie. Brad Pitt's son comes out swinging with a social media post about his dad, and Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega are out of Scream 7. Neve Campbell is about to get paid. All that and more tonight on an entertainment rundown before Thanksgiving special. I'm riding solo today as your host, Chris Fagan, and it was already... I don't know how that happened. My bad. Sorry about that. It was already in the chat. You guys are dragging. I see you out there, man. So thanks for stopping by. Thanks for the comments and everything. And no, Tabitha's not here. No. I was like, hey, man, we got some turkey and stuff. She wasn't falling for that. She knew what I was trying to do. But no, I said, you know, I'm not going to do a show tomorrow. So, and when all this news that dropped, I was like, I wasn't going to wait a week when it was old news and everything. But I did pass your message on to Tabs about I think you said that you wanted to talk to Tyler about collabing and talking about horror stuff. So I know I passed it on to the right person, but I think it was Tyler that you said that you wanted to talk horror movies with. Correct me if I'm wrong about that. And everybody later on, if you're in the chat, give Dragon, the movie guy, a shout out. Say put Dragon in the chat if you're catching this live, if you catch this later, or if you're watching right now. When you come upon this part, show some love to Dragon because he's always out there showing us love. Appreciate you. Become a channel member for exclusives and to join us live during the show. Always, you can check out the podcast if you can't catch us live. I think the chat is on my left. I think that's doing its thing correctly. Let's make sure. Yeah, I think I got it correct. Let me make sure you guys are getting seen. There we go. Let me see if I can fix something real quick. I've been diddling with the graphics and stuff and trying to make everything, you know, look a little bit better. This is gonna probably be too stretched. Let me see if I can make this work. Hold on one sec. Let me see if... Is that too stretched? Yeah. That's not going to be good. That's not going to be... I can't do that. Let me see. Can you still read that? Is that too stretched? No, that's too stretched. I don't like that. Let me just lower... Yeah, let me put it right there. I'll put it about there. That's about as good as it's going to get. Dragon said, yes, appreciate the shout out. It was Tyler. I'd love to have her on the podcast. Okay, yeah. I remember you saying that. And I did pass the message on. Tyler is harder to get than any president in history, man. I send her a text. She'll respond in a day or two or five with an apology. Sorry, I've been busy. You know, she's very busy at work, but she's a hard person to get to. But let me run down these topics real quick. And I got to go downstairs and help out with some cooking and getting ready for this holiday. What I'm really doing is I'm stalling. I'm like, babe, I got a show to do. I'll help with the cranberry sauce. I like Chris, you know, but she wasn't falling for that. She's like, get your ass down here and help me with these goddamn food. I'm like, damn. I'm like, but me and Dragon got some stuff to talk about, babe. But I don't know. We'll figure it out. But I appreciate you helping me out with the show.
And some of y'all are about to get sued.
That was the perfect introduction to that segment right there. Diddy versus Cassie, man. This has been some crazy stuff, man. Everything that's going on with that, I knew I was running out of time to talk about it. Let me see if I can get my camera going. I knew I was running out of time to talk about it. Oh, I am overexposed, man. That light is too bright on me, man. I don't need that much light. Let me see if I can fix that. Give me a sec. I'm sorry. Let me start this over. Let me turn that around. I don't need that much exposure. I was too exposed. My. There we go. That's better. I was like Michael Jackson for a second. Like, let me start over. Diddy and Cassie. So Diddy was sued by Cassie after accusations for SA, as we all know, and he settled. He said real fast. So I'm sure that the rumor was that she was suing for about what, 30 mil, eight figures, man, just going after the pockets. And I went through the whole court case. I went through the whole thing. Shout out to the lead attorney for breaking it down on his YouTube channel. Read the whole thing, and the deposition, it read like a book. She released a book legally. She released the book without releasing the book. It was that detailed. And the vulture, I don't have time. I was going to try to go over it, but I didn't have time. So I decided to just, I found the vulture. They pretty much broke it down and said, Cassie sued Diddy in federal court on November 16th, accusing the hip hop mainstay of rape and a 10-year pattern of abuse that began when she was 19 years old. And it's important that when he said 19, because in her lawsuit, her lawyers made sure to put things like middle-aged Sean Combs was with teenager Cassie. And just like what lead attorney said on his show, when we hear teenager, it's kind of like what R. Kelly hears when he hears teenager, because they did it on purpose. 19 years old, she's an legal adult. She's an adult, but her lawyers knew exactly what they were doing. They painted a picture. They put teenager Cassie against middle aged P. Diddy, because he was like 39 or something at the time or whatever when they met. And that paints a picture in your head. The second you hear that in your head, you're thinking 13, 14, 15, 16. You're not thinking of a 19-year-old, even though she was 19. Nothing about that was illegal, but they painted the picture in the head. They did that on purpose. It was a crazy lawsuit. If you get a chance to download and read the whole thing, check it out. The R&B singer who was once signed to Diddy's label, Bad Boy, Can't Stop. See if I can get my picture up in there. Alleged trafficking, human trafficking, SB, I'm going to say it like that, SA, and gender-motivated violence, among other cases of action. The filing claimed his controlling behavior started when she met him in 2005. After she signed a deal with Diddy's record label following years, he allegedly exerted complete control over her life, including her apartment, car, clothing, and even her medical records, to keep her under his thumb. In that lawsuit, one of the first things that was mentioned was the fact that she was under a 10-album contract. I don't think any artist in Bad Boy has hit 10 albums, except Diddy himself, maybe. We invented the remix, Puff Daddy and the Family. I mean, the only one who wouldn't need a contract like that is him, is the owner himself. He probably has more solo albums than all of his other artists. Biggie had what, 2, 3 before he died? Mace, I think, had 3. I don't even think Mace was under that long of a contract. I think he was under a 4 or 5 album deal. That's kind of reasonable for a new artist. You can reach 5 if you're. But an R&B as competitive as it was and is to this day, brand new artists, you expecting her to be Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston, Taylor Swift. After that second album, you know you're going to hit that third or fourth, fifth album real quick. But still, 10. Most people retire before even getting to a 10th album. That's what they consider that, a slave contract. Let me skip down. What was Diddy's? What was Diddy accused of in the lawsuit? The lawsuit alleged several instances of abuse committed by Diddy, including rape, battery, and forced sex acts with male S workers. In the filing, Casey depicted the mogul head of her former label and then romantic partner. They were both dating, and she was he was her boss. It was a textbook abuser, luring her into what she first perceived as fatherly, protective relationship, only to find herself in an unequal and violent relationship. Diddy successfully kept her under his thumb through his alleged intimidation tactics, which consisted of blowing up a man's car, dangling a friend over a 17th floor balcony, and asking her to carry his his gun for her. She never went to the police out of fear that it would merely give Mr. Combs another excuse to hurt her. Which, I mean, and what lead attorney mentioned was that when you write one of these lawsuits, you're painting a picture. And their job is to make it as compelling, and they have to really lay it on. So the only reason why he said he was skeptical about some of the things that were happening is because he wrote so many of them. And if you go to the lead attorney, and it's a 4-hour video, it's a 4-hour talk, but it's about like 2 hours of just reading and breaking down the lawsuit. I listened to the whole thing, and I read along with him the whole thing. I mean, to the point where Diddy was having Cassie host what he called an FO, a fuck off, or freak off. I'll say freak off, but it really, the four letter word, a freak off, where she was expected to be with other male sex workers for him to watch for his entertainment. And when we got to that part of the case, that's when I knew she was going to win. That's when I knew he was going to settle. And that's when I knew that part of her accusations was believable, because in there it mentioned that not only did he record these sessions, he had her record them too. She alleged in the filing that she was so disgusted she would delete them. But what if she didn't delete them all? Or what if she could get in touch with, and she also was in charge, that he charged her to set up these meetings in these hotels all over in Atlanta and New York hotels and the Trump Tower and internationally. It's time for an F off. A freak off. It's time. Come on. Set it up, Cassie. Is what he would. So she would get on the websites and set it up. What if she was able to recall one of these gentlemen or get one of these persons to come through? The second I read that part of the lawsuit, I was not surprised that Diddy settled so fast. I believe she could prove it. I believe she could call one of those guys that he had her mess with and corroborate the story at least once. Or she kept one of those videos, which incriminated him. Either that, or her lawyers made him believe that it was possible. And if you're worth $500 million or $1 billion, I forgot what Diddy says he's, if with Bad Boy and everything, it's not valued at what it used to be. It's just, you got to settle. You can't take the risk. So that's where I was with that. I was like, oh, you know, he's settling. And it took less than 24 hours. Boom. Settled. I wish her well. We're ending on good. And I'm pretty sure that she can't talk about it. She can't disclose how much she got. But I'm pretty sure she walked out with I'm going to say at least 10 mil after paying the lawyers and everything. I'm going to guess 10 million. But we'll never know. We'll never know. But when I read that, when I got to that part of the lawsuit that said he had her set up these things, these freak offs, and her record them on her private phones, that means she had control over it. Why wait when the laws changed and you were able to file assault charges against a previous attacker or an alleged attacker? Because everybody's innocent until proven guilty, and he hasn't been convicted of anything. Why wait till the last minute? Well, he brought this up, and it was said that it's because it's a tactic, because you're in the middle of negotiations to try to settle or to win your lawsuit before you have to officially file. Because once it's filed, you can't unring that bell. So negotiations was probably happening all the way up to when it was publicly known that the lawsuit was filed. And by the time the law, and you're not going to release, you're not going to give out your whole hand before you file. So when it was filed and that deposition came out, I read that whole thing. I was like, oh no, he's settling. P. Diddy ain't going to sit through all that. He ain't going to. You remember when P. Diddy recently, if you follow this stuff, P. Diddy recently gave the masters of his artist's work back to a lot of his artists, if not all of them. I now believe, I can't prove this, but I now believe that was a image tactic, because Taylor Swift has been trending about, you know, getting her the masters of her music back and re-recording them so she doesn't have to share her money with the people that she used to work with. And getting the masters back to your work is a very hard thing to do. But P. Diddy was like, hey, you know what? Because I'm such a nice guy. Here your masters back. Here you go. You the master now. You the master. Here you go. Those songs ain't worth nothing no more. Biggie's still the biggest artist in Bad Boy. Ain't nobody listening to really listening to Mace anymore. I mean, P. Diddy and the fam, they ain't making, they don't, no record labels. I mean, studios aren't buying that much of P. Diddy songs for soundtracks. Bad Boy 3 and Bad Boy 4 were the last movies that even cared. I guarantee you Bad Boy's music will be nowhere near the next installment of the Bad Boys movie. And Bad Boys for Life is the perfect song for that damn soundtrack. But nope. I guarantee you that Diddy ain't going to be getting nowhere near that soundtrack deal. So when giving the masters back to all of his artists was probably a tactic. I can't prove this, but I would not be surprised if somewhere on the fine print said, if I give you back the masters of your music, you are now agreeing to forego any chance to ever sue me for anything in the future, or something like that. Something to protect them. That's probably why he did it. You don't give away something for nothing. So I'm sure 100%. What's up, Geekly Good? We got Geekly Good in the house, man. What's up, fam? How you doing? I see you, baby. But I am 100% sure that that's what's going on. That Diddy, it said, I looked up Diddy's net worth, Dragon. It said, and I couldn't find, I heard that it was billion. Diddy's net worth, 1.0 billion. Taylor Swift, now 1.1. Oh, yeah. Diddy, and after this is all said and done, Let me go back to it real quick again. Let me go back. After this is all said and done, Diddy ain't gonna be worth $1 billion after this. This was a drop in the bucket, but what's going to hit his overall, because she didn't just sue him, she sued the company. This was a personal lawsuit against him. A lawsuit against not being protected as an artist. She would sexual harassment, all that. It's going to eventually, it's going to catch up to him. Let me see. What do we know about the settlement? The two parties did not disclose terms of settlement, which came just one day after Cassie's filed the lawsuit. We have decided to resolve this matter amicably, Diddy said in a statement on November 18th. I wish Cassie and her family all the best. Love. By reaching an agreement out of court, Diddy avoided new, likely damaging evidence being made available during the process of legal discovery. Just so we're clear, a decision to settle a lawsuit, especially in 2023, is in no way an admission of wrongdoing. Ben Braffman, a lawyer for Diddy, said in a statement on November 20th, Mr. Combs' decision to settle the lawsuit does not in any way undermine his flat-out denial of the claims. He is happy to get they got the matter settled and wish Mrs. Ventura the best.
Ventura. Yes, Satan.
Cassie's civil lawsuit was brought under the Adult Supervision Act, a New York law that gives victims sexual abuse who were 18 or older at the time of the alleged abuse a one-year window to bring a case in New York after any statute of limitation has expired. So the statute of limitations of most of this stuff was already gone. But that new act allowed, like the woman who sued Trump and other people, to have a 1 year window of opportunity to file a lawsuit again. And it was almost, the deadline was almost up. She waited to the very last minute to get that accusation, to get that lawsuit up there. And the second it hit, it took him less than a day. How has the music industry reacted? Kesha changed the lyrics of her chart-topping 2019 hit TikTok, seemingly in response to the allegations, per USA Today. The song originally opened with the line, "Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy." I remember that performance in 2019. However, the song began, "Wake up in the morning feeling like me." She 50 Cent commented on the settlement in a now deleted Instagram post, insinuating that Diddy is not yet in the clear, Complex reported. And I know why he had, you better delete that, because you don't want him trying to sue you. He paid that money real quick. Should have done that before the sharks saw the blood in the water. And here they come in 5, 4, 3. Every woman he put his hands on, he wrote, boom. That's why he deleted it. That's why he deleted it. Well, last one. Former Danity Kane member Aubrey O'Day responded to the allegation on November 16th. She expressed support for Cassie, tweeting, "She's been trying to tell y'all." She's attached screenshots of news headlines about the lawsuit. Danity Kane was formed by Diddy. All right. What other allegations is he facing? After Casey's lawsuit came to light in 2019, interviews with Virginia V resurfaced, detailing alleged instances of physical abuse. In a conversation with the controversial internet personality Tasha K, Diddy's ex-girl, Tasha K, the YouTuber, accused the CEO of once stomping on her stomach. She gonna sue. She needs the money. She needs the money to get to allegedly get Cardi B off her back. Because that's not alleged. She lost that case. She lost that case, and she says she's having a hard time. Paying it. So yeah, that's been some crazy stuff, man. Well Geekly Goods, welcome back to Geekly. Remind me, a live stream this earlier this week, or are you still gonna do your show on Sunday? Let me know. Shout out to Geekly Goods, man. Welcome back to the chat, Geekly Good. Somebody put what's up, Geekly, in the chat for me, man. Put that in there. And let's move on. I'm going to move on to the next one because I can go on this one a long time. I didn't want to waste too much time on this one.
Emotional damage.
Emotional damage, man. You know what? I didn't even check the sound bites. And so far, they have been pitch perfect. Brad Pitt's son he breaks his silence about the man. And you know what? I was thinking that this is a real sad situation right here, man. But, you know, I was raised by a single mother, and I know exactly how it feels, man. So let's go back real quick before I lose track, because I was about to go on a rant, you know. I was about to do a whole, you know, Dear Mama song real quick. Let me start from the beginning. This came in from Page Six, how Brad Pitt really feels about his son Pax. Explosive Father's Day rant. So on Father's Day, Brad Pitt has no reaction to the recent headlines about his son Pax, Jolie Pitt, allegedly calling him a world-class asshole in a resurfaced social media post from Pax 6. Despite a report claiming Pitt feels the situation is depressing and frustrating, his source close to the actor insists that that could be nothing further from the truth. "This is unfortunate that people would keep trying to bring his kids into things," the insider tells us. But this isn't people or the media trying to bring his kids into things. From what I saw, the source added that Pitt had a divorce, ongoing custody battle. That wasn't it. He came through and bust out himself and was like, "No, you a world class." You a world-class asshole. And I'm trying to find, yeah, here it is. Brad Pitt has no reaction to his son Pax calling him a world-class asshole in a resurfaced social media post. It's been a long 7 years, and it is unfortunate when people unnecessarily raise issues from so far in the past and don't take into consideration the impact it has on the whole family. A source close to the Oscar winner tells Pac Six. I mean, you gotta, like I said, I was raised by a single mother. And at the time, and if I remember correctly, that was the young man who tried to defend his mother when Pitt went on that you know, had that episode on the plane or something like that. And I think it was something like he like kind of laughed at him or something like that when he tried, or maybe it was the other, or maybe it was another sibling. I can't remember. But I mean, boys will. Sometimes when I was that age, I remember freezing when I was in a situation like that. I remember not being able to muster up the strength to do anything. Sometimes we freeze. Sometimes boys will face their fathers and are willing to risk it all. Now, you try that shit with me now, see what happens now. So I'm not surprised that you know, he's not afraid to say what he said, because I remember hearing that even in the moment when Brad was going off, that he stood up for his mom. And I just, you know, the media spins things, you know, it could be like alcohol, it can be all kinds of things. I'm not saying that's what he's suffering from. Maybe it is, maybe it is. I can't remember. But after all these years, you hope that something good will come out of it, whether he learns to fight whatever demons he's fighting, the kids find a better way to deal with their relationship with a very famous father who's, I don't see any time soon being canceled. If he works on himself, maybe they'll find their way back, but it's hard, man. Especially when you were a young man trying, and you looking up to defend your mother like that in the face of an abusive father, or an alleged abusive father. As an abused son myself, I remember that venom. That's the best way I can describe it. That venom that you feel, it turns into hatred after a while. So I don't know if this is still a sore spot for that young man, if he's worked on his relationship with his dad, or if Brad is doing what he needs to do, especially when it's about adopted children. I get so worried that the wrong people are adopting children, like especially from other countries and stuff, for the wrong reasons. I used to think that most celebrities like the optics of these types of adoptions and stuff, but I've been proven wrong. I'm not judging them or Angelina and whatnot, but I have known personally people who I felt like they were only doing it for the optics. And I said, that's a story for another time. I don't want to name names, but I can tell you a story. And it did not end that well for them, but let me move on to the next topic. Let me know what you think before we move on. Let's see if my program is working real quick. We were talking earlier about the last topic. Let me see if I can go back here. Without Melissa, we're just getting ahead. We'll get into that. I'll come back to that comment a bit later. Let's go back to, we were talking about Diddy. Diddy or didn't he? Yeah, that's a good one. Look forward to the show. Appreciate it. And yes, appreciate the shout out to Tyler. I'd love to have her on the podcast. I will remind her. You know what? Let me do this. You know what? For the dragon. Maybe got a lot of family over. Boy, come on. Let me see. Here we go. Let me get Tyler on. Let me get Tyler. Here we go. Tyler, don't forget your being requested to on a podcast on, what is it, Dragon Movie Guys Channel. Movie Guys Channel. We are live now. So damn, I didn't send them. There you go. Put it right there. I put it in the box for you. All right, let me know what you guys think about everything that's going on with the Pitts, the Jolie Pitts, and maybe we'll talk about it in an upcoming episode. Got you, Marvel. Now, okay, that soundbite was wrong. Jenna Ortega, the main topic, what everybody wants to talk about, what we were just talking about a second ago. Let me see if I can pull it back up here. Here we go. With Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega, and with different writer slash director, why not just reboot at this point? I don't think rebooting is necessary, but before we talk about that, I'm going to come back to that idea of rebooting. Before we get into that, let's do this. Let me pull up a little bit of what's going on. So as we've heard on the news that Melissa Barrera has been released from Scream 7 because of a post that she did about the war. A lot of people have a lot of feelings on things. There's a lot of conspiracy theories that's always going around. You know what they always talking about with who runs this and who runs that. People getting kind of prejudiced about it and saying some wild stuff. You know, the stereotypes has been around for years. And whatnot. I have my feelings about it because I felt like there are a lot of celebrities who can say some wild, crazy stuff about certain countries. And it kind of feels like when a country is of a certain background, it's easy to just start. You can say anything you want about them. You can call them all kinds of names. But let it be another country of a different type of background that's more accepted. If I just say it like that, it's like you can't say nothing. You can't say a damn thing. Is that? And I even feel like a lot of celebrities or a lot of actors, a lot of people in the business will get punished no matter what, even if you say something neutral. Like I'll say something like, I wish that fighting would stop. I don't want like innocent victims on any side of the argument to be getting hurt or worse, because there's a lot of kids involved. And that's sad. It's a damn shame. It should stop. But it's like, if you say anything neutral, that can be twisted by one side, where you're just supporting the other side. And then on the other side, where you're just supporting them. It's like, I didn't say that. I said I wanted. So it's getting very hostile out there. And it's like, you can't say a damn thing. And earlier, when I first saw this report that came up, I felt a type of way about it. And then I looked into it, I realized it kind of reminds me of what happened with Disney when, what's her name? From The Mandalorian, when she was let go. Her and Pedro Pascal, they were both wilding out on both sides of the argument on Twitter. And Disney gave them, sat down with them and spoke to them both and said, you got to stop this. We're hired. What you do out there also reflects on us, because you're currently working with us. And we hired you to play these characters on this damn TV show. We didn't hire you to be getting, you know, hit from left and right on your political beliefs. So please don't stop putting us in that situation. And then people said, this is an attack on freedom of speech. So I haven't done this in a while, and I said I wouldn't, but let's talk about John Campion. So I want to do a reaction real quick on the John Campion show, because he talked about this, and there was some parts that he brought up that I want to highlight. Let's talk a little bit about John Campion. So somebody, if you watch the John Campion show, put John Campion, put JC in the chat real quick. If you follow the John Campion show like me, if you have a John Campion follower, put JC in the chat, man. Give some shout out to John Campion, man. I'm always, I'm like, he's my favorite, one of my favorite YouTubers. and if not my favorite. And I'm and every now and then I got to give him a little love or a little grief. I don't know how he's gonna take it. Ray seems to like me, but let me go to my notes and let's see what. Oh! I see you. I see what you just said, Geekly. Geekly says they're gonna backpedal. You beat me to it, and you know that you another entertainment news movie guy like me. You already beat me to my damn you beat me to my damn punchline right there. There we go. They're gonna backpedal like crazy. They're gonna backpedal. Let me just say it now. That's exactly where I was gonna lead with all this. They're going to, that's one of the options. There's other options. So that was one of them, but that's the one that I think they're going to go with. Because, and we'll talk about why in a second, but let's talk a little bit about what John had to say. Let me go to my timestamps at 4:49. Let's see what John had to say here. I'm not going to play the whole damn thing because it was like 20 minutes long. 4:49. Let's start right about here. There we go. Oh, damn it. Now there's a damn commercial. So let me mute it, play that real quick, knock that out, and then we'll get into it. All right, boom, there we go.
People out there, before I get to do I think the studio should have let her go? There are going to be, and there already are people out there who are saying this is an issue of free speech. It's not. This is not an issue of free speech. Melissa Barrera did not get thrown in jail. She is not facing criminal charges. But as I often say in this show, and nobody likes to acknowledge
me,
and that freedom is a two-way street, right? I have the freedom to say I think your mother's a whore. I can say that.
I think John stole that line from me because I know exactly where he got it from because I say it all the time. I can't remember the movie that I got it from. But I remember the joke. It was something like, you know how when people say that you don't like their favorite movie and they always respond with like total shock, like, you didn't like The Godfather? What are you trying to say? And the other guy goes, well, based on your reaction, I guess I'm saying your mother's a whore. I believe that's the joke that John Campion just is referencing. I can't remember what movie or stand-up comedy or what TV show I got that line from, but I think John saw the same thing. But anyway.
How dare you? No,
but I can say that's my opinion. In my opinion, I think you're my... I'm not talking to anybody here. I think your mama's a whore. I can say that. I have the freedom to say that. That's freedom of speech. But you then have the freedom to not invite me over for dinner. I have the freedom to say that I think your mom's a whore, but you also have the freedom to say, well, if you're going to say stuff like that, I am not inviting you to my home for dinner. And you're with totally good to say that. Freedom goes both ways. All right? Freedom of speech is about protecting us from government persecution.
Boom.
For what we say. Not about everybody else just has to suck it up that we said what we said and do nothing about it. That's not what freedom of speech is.
It's not censorship either. Someone said censorship.
And it's not censorship.
Her posts are still there.
She's totally free to say whatever she wants to say. But, just like I'm free to say, I think your mother's a whore.
That's the third time he said that shit.
You have the freedom to say, well, I don't want to associate with you anymore. You have.
Yeah. And that's what it basically, that was what it boiled down to. And it reminded me of the Gina Carano. Thanks. Appreciate you, Dragon. Dragon out there helping me out in the chat with the names, telling me that when the whole thing with Gina Carano, I legit thought her character's name as Amanda Lorian. Amanda Lorian. That's funny as hell. But it reminded me of that. It's like, hey, because from what I saw, Gina Ortega and Melissa Barrera both on their personal social media accounts had Palestine supporting messages on like on the top where they're on their bio and things like that. They both acknowledged that they were on that side that for a, you know, the free Palestine and things like, but you, like I said, you know, if you are on that side of it, if you say anything, then they're going to, people are going to take, because people go to extremes. Because like the example that I made the other day when this stuff broke down is like, I as a black man, I can, you know, not like or hate the Ku Klux Klan and still feel sorry for a Klansman's baby if he got like into a car accident or got hurt, broke their leg or something like that, or got a 1 year or 2 year, 3 or 4 or 5 years old, even though I know he's probably going to be another future, but I can still feel bad for a little kid who gets hurt or worse without supporting his dad's views or that kid's probably, possibly, or likely future views. I can still say, I feel bad for that person without being accused of supporting what, that's just like a person going up to me and going, "You, my mom was mugged by a black crackhead, a gangster gangbanger 20 years ago. And that's why all y'all motherfuckers are the same." Like, how am I responsible for what that dude did? You know, so when I say that it's what's getting ridiculous out there is the you can't even get to a point where you say something so neutral, because I'm so bad with names. What's her name from Only Murders in the Building? She had to quit Instagram for a minute because she said something so neutral. People were like, when people call her out for that, that's too neutral. You're just trying to ride the fence. Take a fucking step. Like, it's getting to a point where you can't even spread love to everybody. Can we, with Rodney, what did he say? Can't we all just get along? That used to be made fun of, but the message was still loud and clear. Nowadays, it's like, nah, hell no, nah, you can't get along. What you trying to say? You want to be friends with that white man that whooped your ass? Or why you can't even, like, Martin Luther King probably couldn't even be working today. Nonviolence. So what you like being he would be accused of probably being a house Negro. I'm sorry, but it's crazy out there nowadays. How people are acting and going to the extreme. You can't even be pacifist anymore. You can't even be neutral. You can't even spread love on both sides without being accused of really sympathizing with this or that, who's perceived to be the enemy, depending on who you're talking to. But let's see. Where did I stop off? Let's see. Right.
You have the right to do that. Just like when Brie Larson comes out and says she thinks there's not enough representation of enough diversity in film critics, guess what? She's allowed to say that. And other people are allowed to say, whether I agree with them or not, they're allowed to say, well, then you know what? Because you said that, I'm not going to go see your movies. You have the freedom to do that.
Which to me is, and I'm glad he brought that up, which to me is still the main reason why the Brie Larson haters to this day were hoping to do to the current movie what they wished would have happened to Captain Marvel. Because he was right. Nobody was really saying anything that bad about Brie Larson. There was people who didn't like the casting of her as Captain Marvel. They thought other actresses could have done it better. Just like, it was on the same level as Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. But the second Brie Larson said that, you know what, if there's a movie like with a, like a Black Panther movie, and then there's a news junket, and all you see are the outlets that are mostly read by white readers, why wouldn't it make sense to have BET in here, Jet Magazine in here? And so, that's all she said. I'm like, you're going to get a lot of black people watching this movie. Shouldn't you be advertising in black media? And the second she said that, Brie Larson doesn't like white people. Like, all of a sudden, she hates herself and a mom and a dad now. Like, it was ridiculous. And that's the only thing they really focused on. And I can go. That's a whole other show. Let me move on before I start. Let me start again. Let me fast forward to the next part. 7:40. Let me move on, because I'm about to go to church. Here we go. Let's start here.
You're in a business. And when you're in business with other people, fair or unfair, what you do reflects on the people you're in business with. I'm not saying that's fair. I'm not saying it's unfair. But when you are in business together, what you do reflects on the people you're in business with. And if the studio says, look, You're going out there doing these things in public and saying these things in public, and we don't want to be associated with that.
Selena Gomez, thank you.
We think you doing that and us being associated with you is going to hurt our business. We think what you're doing is going to hurt us.
And that's what I had to remember. Just like with Carano, with Disney, I was even asked to collaborate with another YouTuber. It was a black dude who was, I guess he was really pandering to the geeks and the flamers. And he thought that I was, because that was when I was trying to figure out what Phantom Menace was and whatnot. I was like, am I a part of the Phantom Menace? Am I this? Is this? I thought there was a group of like some hardcore Star Wars fans. And I realized what they were really about. And I was like, fuck that. But he called me and a bunch of other YouTubers to do a collage video of a bunch of YouTubers' thoughts on what was going on with Gina Carano. And when I saw the end result of his video, I wasn't in it. Everybody else that was in it was like, Gina Carano's being treated unfairly, and this is woke. I remember what I said. I was like, Gina Carano was given a chance by Disney to cut it out. Just like Pedro Pascal. Pedro stopped. Because he was saying some wild stuff. Do you remember the stuff that Pedro Pascal was saying about Trump? Boy, Pedro was not holding back. Just like how Gina was talking about Obama and Clinton and Hillary and so whatever, whoever. Just and everything. Woke. Just like she was saying. Disney did the same thing to both of them. I need to cut it out. We're not hiring you to do this and to take on that stuff. We're not going in that direction. So what you're doing is now people are asking us questions. Pedro stopped. Pedro stayed on the show. Pedro kept on working. Pedro's now Mr. Fantastic. Gina thought it would be funny to post another couple of tweets. Gina's off the show. Gina had to double down. I think Gina had a chance to come back if she would have just stopped after she got fired. But then she decided to double down again. I'm going to go on Breitbart or whatever the hell it went to. I'm going to really double down. I mean, there's some money to be made on rage baiting and all that stuff. But there's a floor. There's a ceiling. And that ceiling all is now starting to get lower. The rage is still out there, but people kind of get bored after a while. They're still out there. But people in that space, if you're not constantly raising the bar of your rage, because it's an endless loop of entertain me, fool. Call another girl the C word. Entertain me in rage. You know, it's like those dudes that was in Harold and Kumar. Extreme! The pterodactyl sound. Like they constantly need it. And if you start to simmer down, you're a snowflake. And they find somebody else who can feed that rage. It's hard to be at a max at all time with that much. It's crazy. But I guess she thought it was just, maybe that's just her true personality. She kept it going. I honestly think Gina had a chance to come back. I honestly think because a lot of people were looking forward to that spinoff show that she was about to star in. And I don't care how tough-minded or pig-headed or whatever you want to call it, but hard, I'm gonna say hard-headed you are. I'm a hard-headed fool too. One of these days she's going to admit, if she's not admitting it in private, damn, I missed those Disney checks. You know she's saying it, because there's nowhere near, I don't care how much loyal fan base support you're getting, that ceiling is forever getting lower, and Disney's ability to for those checks to grow is, just ask Pedro Pascal if he's making the same amount of money from Disney. But he's Mr. Fantastic now. Look what happened to him. Let me move on to the last thing before I go. Because, you know, I seem to be going on. My fault. I go on these rants. I'm sorry, y'all. I do this every now and then. Let's see what Big Papa Campia has to say about one last thing. One more thing. Would John have fired her? Let's move on to this one. Would John have fired her? That's the question. About here.
Getting back to the question, though, do I think they did the right thing by letting her go? And would I have done that? I'm going to say it depends. On its surface, I wouldn't have let her go over the one statement. I think what I would have done is given her a call and said, can you come into my office or can I come to yours? And can we sit down and talk? And then I would have expressed, listen, you are getting involved in a very polarizing public discourse, and that's your right to do. But we're in business together, and we're in the business of public perception, and we don't want our product or our name or our business to be associated with that polarizing issue right now. And you're dragging us into it. Could you please not? Can you please not? And if she said, no, screw you, we're just going to do whatever, then I would say, then with respect, we're going to move on just because we don't want to be a part of that discussion. So I would say, yeah, if it was the first, like if they had had no discussion with her and they just saw she posted that, I would say, get on the phone with her, respectfully ask her to take it down and say, look, we just want to be associated with that. Please stop that. And then I would continue to move on with her. But if we brought up those concerns with her and she said, nah, whatever, I'm just going to do what I want to do, I would probably say, yeah, then we're going to move on. I don't know. We want to.
And then the commercial comes in. But yeah, I wonder how many people that used to work for AMC would be like, is that really what you did, John? Really? I wonder how many people from back in the day, really, John? You would have sat down with, he probably would. I'm sure there's, man, speaking of NDAs, I bet there's some NDAs out there that would probably prove the other. But who knows? But I thought, I agree with. I think that, and that leads me to what Geekly Good said earlier. They're going to backpedal. I feel like they will. And I think, was there one more thing? Was there a Robert Meyer Burnett part that I, yeah, it was. It was one more thing. Before we move on to that backpedal, because Dragon says, I prefer Rob. Well, you know what? I collabed with Rob one time before, and we're supposed to collab again. But I'll see if I can make that happen.
Did they act too hastily? Did they make the right move? What would you have done in their situation? How do you address this?
I am a staunch supporter of free speech, even when people say things that I might vehemently disagree with. And remember, when people say free speech, that means that the government can't control free speech.
Right.
It doesn't mean that we can police each other's speech. So we are, our system of government guarantees us the First Amendment free speech. But you put it very, very beautifully, very succinctly, and explained when you're working for somebody, you represent them. And you have to maintain that. And my whole thing is, I will defend people's as ill-conceived as opinions might be, or as
the saying is, I may not agree with what you're saying, but I will defend to the death your right to say it.
Much as I might disagree with them, as long as they don't veer into outright hate speech against, you know, certain people's, individuals, whatever.
Like what? Brie Larson hates white people, like stuff like that. Like, it's ridiculous.
Then I'm like, look, you might have what I consider a bad take, but I'm not going to fire you for that.
Right.
If anything, like you said, have a conversation with somebody, bring somebody in, talk to them about this. Because the thing is, from what I understand, she wasn't espousing a view that is not being talked about by half the planet, if not more so. This is not, her position is not something that many people don't also agree with. She's not coming out as some firebrand from left field.
Yeah, she's not a flat earther.
No.
There you go. I mean, and they're right. And you know what? Hey, you know what, Dragon? Movie guy, I got a sound bite that's here for an old sound bite. I think this is for you now. Let me see. Like, whenever I see you in the chat, this is what I'm going to play for you.
Dragon Daddy.
our friend of the show saying Dragon Daddy. That's you, man. You're the Dragon Daddy.
Dragon Daddy.
I brought that up for no reason, but yeah, I mean, is what she said. So what she actually said, she pretty much she accused a side of being committing a genocide. So, and it's, and after, and saying that to that group of people that with that background, especially with what they went through, that's, ooh, you, I mean, it's, I can't get into full details on it because I'm at risk myself of getting, I don't want to get demonetized for repeating the words that are being used out there, because I don't agree with a lot of things that are being said and stuff. And I understand why people on this side and that side are all upset. But the things that are being said out there is I can understand, like, especially if there is a producer or a coworker or whatnot that is of Jewish background being, getting offended like that, especially if they have a hard not life background and they went through things where they were, or they're second generation from family members who survived the Holocaust and stuff. These are some touchy subjects, man. But people who are getting thrown under, it's just weird to me how, if the group is not as, I'll just say, desirable as another, sometimes to me it shows. It's very weird that how when we went through our thing in this country and not 9/11, it was very easy for people to fall into crazy prejudices and saying the wildest things. You could say almost anything or almost do anything you wanted to certain certain people of that background. Nothing would hardly happen to you. Nowadays, with TikTok and stuff like that, the way people are nowadays, that's what this generation is fighting against now. Because when a war breaks out, with stuff like that happens and stuff, people just they go to the worst common denominator in their brains, and they start getting that pack mentality. You're allowed to say anything you want. We're at war with this country. I can say, then I can say whatever I want about those people, and do whatever I want to say. I mean, people get into that mob mentality and stuff, and that stuff is just crazy and it's wrong. Black guy stole your wife's purse in 1985. That means all black people are thugs. That's that bull crap. Like, no, that's not the way the world works. Because you wouldn't like it if it was happening to you. Those prejudices because one guy did something to another. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But the options that are leading forward to Scream. What's going to happen with Scream? Let's talk about it. I said earlier, Neve Campbell was about to get paid. We remember she wasn't in Scream 6. And she said that she wasn't getting paid the amount of money that she deserved. Well, now you got two actresses that have been released. And after Scream 5 tried to make Melissa the focus, the new Neve Campbell. That was the baton was being passed to her. But for some weird reason, Jenna Ortega, especially after Wednesday, became the fan favorite, the focus. She became the one that people kind of want to focus on. And I felt like in Scream 6, they did a better job at balancing it. And I then, because I didn't really care about Melissa's character in Scream 5. I cared more about Jenna. And that was before I saw Wednesday. But then when I saw Scream 6, I was like, they did a better job at balancing it and making me see Melissa's character as the new Neve Campbell, the new leader of this core four, or the new Sydney. They did it, and maybe it was because Sydney wasn't there that I could focus on her and I could see it. And I honestly felt like, I love Jenna Ortega, but I felt like they did such a good job. If you would have told me that Jenna Ortega wasn't going to be in the next one, but Melissa, well I would have been okay with that. But now that Melissa is gone, I was like, well, the focus is now going to go back to Jenna. Then Jenna said, I'm backing out. She later said that this was always in the plans and the works, that it was about the scheduling. But everybody with their tinfoil hats were like, well, the timing was really weird. We know that you and her shared similar thoughts and beliefs about what's going on with the war. But I understand Hollywood has spin. I'm not going to call her a liar. So I'm just going to take her at her word. Scheduling. Fine. Scheduling. So now they can't, Scream franchise can't focus on Jenna Ortega. They're heavier hitter. Their lead is gone. Their heavy hitter is now gone. Look who looks really good right now. Neve Campbell. if Neve Campbell comes back now, and I'm now they have the money, they have freed up the money that they were going to pay with these other two actors to now give. You have no way of justifying not paying Neve Campbell that money that she asked for now, or somewhere near it, somewhere real close to it. You can't justify it now, because you can do a whole Scream 7 can now follow wherever Sydney is. It doesn't even need the core. I can't see them doing anything with 50% of the core four. You can't have the brother and sister by themselves without Jenna and without Melissa. You can do without one. You can't do it without two. You cannot cut that the core four into the core two. You can't. You can do it three. You can justify it. Well, she decides to go to school. Nev is back. So there's four again. But two and Nev? No. I don't see that happening. You got to rewrite that whole thing, in my opinion. At least that's what I do. Or you focus, but I believe that you can make a whole new Scream movie wherever Sydney is with a whole new villain, obviously a whole new villain, who that's found wherever Sydney is hiding, and not even have any of the original or legacy characters back. Just Sydney. And her new friends and family that wherever she's in hiding at, trying to take her and her family out. I could see a whole movie out of that where it's just Sydney. And when it's just Sydney and new actors for the, you know, in the city or the country or wherever she's at, and bring a whole new group in who probably all don't survive. But that would justify, that would free up the money to bring Sydney back. Or you backpedal, just like Geekly said, and you bring you stick to the path, because now this new director and the writers have to probably rewrite everything. If you recast, I think there will be even more backlash against it. And it's like, well, when Neve Campbell didn't want to do Scream 6, you didn't recast her. Why are you recasting these people? So I guess it all depends on there's options there. They can recast. I don't think that's a good idea. They can stick the course, but you could kill the characters off screen. You can have stand-ins, and you can show a bloodbath in the beginning of the movie and say Jenna Ortega and Melissa's characters were murdered right from the jump. We didn't even get to see it. That would also be a bad thing, because seeing the death scenes is something that's core to Scream movies. So that would be a bad cop out, and a lot of people would take that as disrespect or them taking a dig at them. You can do the movie without them, but I don't want to see the core two. I don't think those, the brother and sister, as funny as they are, I don't see them carrying the movie. They call themselves the core four for a reason. Even with Courtney Cox and Neve Campbell around, they still consider them a foursome. You cut that in half, it's not as entertaining. Especially since there's a love interest between Jenna Ortega and the other young man now. That's the new Dewey and Courtney Cox. So, backpedal. Geekly Good said, backpedal. Backpedal, backpedal. That's what needs to happen. They are going to backpedal like crazy. I feel that's exactly what's about to happen. Because with that director coming out going, man, this sucks. He's expressing that he doesn't like this. He doesn't want to have to start over. The writers don't have to. You gotta have to pay for another a brand new script now. So, and them writers just got off strike. They ain't gonna take a pay cut. James Gunn situation already again. I see you right there. I like that. That's true. It's true. Making Joy do all the cooking. You damn right. He's a better cook than I am, man. I can hear it downstairs. Joy, you still cooking? Nothing. They were asking if you were nothing. Never mind. Sounds like she wrote an essay. Who are we talking about? I wonder if the... Oh, we're going back to... Okay. Going back to the... Yeah. Oh, yeah. I believe. Let me move on to... what's going on with. Yep, and the lead of the Flash wasn't fired. Yeah, I mean, but it's two different situations, but with Ezra Miller and all that. So yeah, you don't want to be in a situation where when your movie's about to come out, you're thinking about all this bad stuff. But to be fair, nobody was really going to be thinking about that post. They're now thinking more about the fact that you fired her so fast, more than they thought about. There are more people talking about the fact that she's been fired than what she's been fired for. So backpedal, backpedal, backpedal. They're going to backpedal. They are going to backpedal. I 100% believe that. They're already trying to get Nev back, and get this, Patrick Dempsey too. Really? How much money you gonna? So I mean, Dempsey was just in Thanksgiving. I hated that movie so bad. Which one was Dempsey in? Was he in Scream 3, or was it 4? I can't remember. But I mean, yeah, I mean, I can see that. Is Dempsey who she married in the franchise? Is that who she married and is with? Now, if that's who she married, that's a whole movie right there. You can move away from the core four and from Courtney Cox for now. You can kill Courtney Cox in the very beginning of the movie and then go hunting for because now that Dewey's gone, kill Courtney Cox right in the beginning of the movie. That's your first kill. You go hunting for Sydney. You don't even need the other new characters right now, and no other legacy characters. Maybe except for Patrick Dempsey. And you just go, it's a hunt for Sydney, and maybe you succeed. Have we ever had a Scream movie where Ghostface wins? Let Ghostface win. And then when enough time goes by, then we can come back to the core four and part eight. That's the movie I'd write. Let Ghostface win. And that'll shock you. Let Sydney, you know, it's a hunt for Sydney. And we won't stop until Sydney's gone. Everybody's talking about... oh, nothing. They were just asking if you were downstairs cooking and why wasn't I helping you. That was all. Yeah. I said I was busy. I was going to have to do the show. I said, with AI being a problem right now, hell, let there just be one Ghostface. Here's my script. Hey, Dimension Films. Hey, Spyglass, whatever it's called. Here's my pitch. Don't steal this idea. A Ghostface, one Ghostface again, one guy or girl, and his partner or her partner is an AI. The AI is the one doing the calls. The AI. It's Dead Reckoning. Take the plot of Dead Reckoning and give it to a Scream movie. Have a ghost face, use an AI, and the AI picks the victim. The AI tries to outsmart Sydney, shuts the phone down, can't get to the police, can't get away. The AI does it all. Steal the plot from Dead Reckoning and bring it into Scream. There's my Scream movie. Watch, they're going to do that. That's why. They're going to say that they thought of that years ago. No, that's my idea. Anyway. Let me know what you guys think about that. Let's see what. Yeah, Patrick Dempsey is her. Yeah. So Patrick Dempsey's her husband. So there's your movie, right there. I mean, especially with him coming back to horror with that. God, oh man, I hated Thanksgiving, man. That movie was. There will be no leftover. It was so bad. Everybody else, I was the only one at the table that did not like that movie. Everybody else said it was great. I thought that movie was garbage. I hated it because. Anyway. Moving on to the last thing I wanted to talk about before I get out of here, guys, because I got to hurry up and get out of here. Was that the last topic? Real fast. I know this is going to be a... Hold on. Toasty! Real quick. Deadpool is coming out. It's the only Marvel movie from that's going to be coming out in 2024. Do you think it's going to hit $1 billion? If everybody in the chat put a billion in the chat, if you think it's going to hit a billion or just say no, it's not, or yes, it will. Let me know. Do you think Deadpool is going to hit $1 billion? And I put this question up on my community tab, and let me see if I can find what everybody said real quick. Here we go. Let me zoom in. Put it up. Will Deadpool 3 make $1 billion? 56% said yes. 44 said no. I even posted it on my Twitter, and I don't have the results in there. You guys think it's gonna be? I agree. It's going to make $1 billion. It's the only Marvel MCU movie that's coming out in 2024. They now that we're getting a break, part one and part two were almost at 800 million themselves, and now we got the power of Disney behind it. The fact that Marvel they let Ryan be Ryan. They're not interfering according to Ryan Reynolds. And here's another, here's a conspiracy theory. I think that the guys who were so against the Marvels and the fact that they got their win for a failure for the Marvels, all of those people who boycotted seeing the Marvels, they're then going to be awoken next summer to flood Deadpool 3. I'm going to predict at least $1.3 billion. They are going to try to make it make more money than Captain Marvel just to make a statement. I feel it. It's going to be revenge viewing ticket purchases for that reason, and it's going to be for the love of, you know, those movies for Ryan Reynolds for all the right reasons as well. It's going to be wrong reasons and right reasons, and it's all going to come together for at least $1.3 billion. That's my prediction there. What do you guys think about that? Let me see. Oh, my fault. I clicked the wrong thing. Deadpool 3 will be making that Mint Mobile money. Mint Mobile, baby. I'm thinking about getting that for my son. Geekly Good says, if it tanks, then it's time for Marvel to hit the panic. If Deadpool 3 tanks, fucking out of here, man. I don't even want to hear what's gonna happen. At least Ryan will say something funny about it, you know. I think he'll say something funny. Same. I gotta watch her show Vita. Whose show? Vita. Love Melissa. Melissa Barrera in The Heights, though. I have not yet. I still haven't seen The Heights. Still haven't seen it. I need to watch that. Ride a Dragon movie. All right. So much for the core four. Yeah, they fucking out of here, man. Dark movie guy. LOL. I won't be watching unless they get those two back. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right. Moving on to the last thing. All right. This might not be a topic you guys want to hear me talk about too much, but I'm going to touch on it very briefly. All right. I'm gonna touch it just a little bit. I'm gonna touch on it just. No. Well, before that, the one before the last. No, this is a topic you do want to talk about. This is something you guys do want to talk about. Superman full cast. I'm excited about this. I cannot wait for this. So we got a full cast, and I want to talk about real quick this full cast. While I got this cat in the background yelling his ass off every time Joy is not in sight. You hear that? That cat goes crazy. All right. The full cast is out and about now. Let me see if I can find it real fast. I went to IMDb and I pulled it up. Here we go. I swear to God, you would think that we were murdering that cat. That's what she said. Let's see. Real fast. Okay, so we know who Superman is gonna be. All right, we already know that. We got our boys Corn Sweat. All right, we got Lois Lane, we got Rachel. We already know that, but here, let's get into the good stuff right here. Look at this. Isabella Merced, how do you say it? Merced? Wasn't she Dora the Explorer? Was she Dora? Let me zoom in. Let's see. Isabella will be playing. Yeah, she was Dora the Explorer, and she's going to be our Hawk Girl in the upcoming Superman Legacy. They don't even have it up here listed. Upcoming. Oh, there it is. Upcoming. Boom. There we go. She's going to be in Madam Web. Okay. And she's going to be in Superman Legacy, pre-production. Hawk Girl. Dora the Explorer herself. Look at that. Look at that. Look at this casting. Look at this casting. That's all I'm going to say. Gots to be more careful. Let's go. Next. And tell me who your favorite is on this list so far. Let's go to the man himself, Nicholas. I'm so excited about this. I'm just as excited about this as I was with Michael Rosenbaum. I feel like he can give us a Michael Rosenbaum level Lex Luthor. I can feel it. I think Nicholas Holt, especially after what we saw in The Menu, I feel like he can deliver. He's already played a brain before with him playing Hank McCoy. We know he can play smart. We know he can be, you know, dapper and debonair and all that. I'm telling you, the girls are gonna go crazy. This is the debate between between him and Michael Rosenbaum. It's gonna be about they're gonna say who was hotter, but I'm gonna say who's better. It's gonna be a debate on who's gonna be better. This is the actor I feel that we're gonna finally have a challenger, a true challenger for Michael Rosenbaum. I don't think there's been anybody to come close to what Michael did, and that's not just because he played the character longer than anybody in history all put together. They clocked in him and Tom Welling. They clocked in some hours playing Clark Kent and Lex Luthor. Nathan Fillion is Guy Gardner. There's nothing really to say. We know he's going to crush it. We know Nathan Fillion is going to crush it. There's nothing to even worry about there. I mean, he's got that chemistry with James Gunn. There's nothing to worry about there. Skyler Gisendo as Jimmy Olsen. Is there anybody in Hollywood that fits the image and essence of a Jimmy Olsen better than this dude right here? I think this was another almost, if not perfect, casting right there. I always, that Dragon movie, I always thought that corn would pop before it sweats. I missed something. I always thought corn would pop before it sweats. Am I missing something? Is that a dad joke? She was Dora. Also, my first interview for Transformers. Ooh, is that on your channel? Let me look that up. Chris slowed down in the Isabel Mercedes. did I start lagging? Born in 2001, just about young enough for Diddy to support her in Superman. Dang, that's wrong, Dragon. Geekly Goods, Mark Clark and Lex, best buddies who grew up together, give them a connection. I think that'll be dope. Mark Clark and Lex. Do the small. Oh, what? I'm what? You what? Sing? What? Somebody save me? I ain't singing that. she should do the turnaround thing and be like Lex, like the way Tom Welling would always do. Yeah. Perfect for Skyler. Do the Smallville thing. Perfect for Skyler. What are we talking about? What's perfect for Skyler? What's perfect for that? Oh, yeah. Oh, Skyler Gibson. Oh yeah, Jimmy. Yeah. And Anthony Kerrigan as Rex Mason. What is his Metamorpho. Yeah. Perfect casting. I love Anthony Kerrigan in Gotham. And I think Eddie is it Gathegi as Mr. Terrific. This is going to be to make up for the way Fox, you know, messed up with him in the First Class movie. And speaking of perfect casting, I'm sorry, I got to get familiar with this young lady's body of work.
Bruh.
Sarah Sampaio. I'm like, who is this? About to play Miss Tessmacher. This is about to be good. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm watching this. What is this? At midnight, white wife-like. Sombra, Shadow, Crisis. I don't know nothing about. She was in Billions, episode one. Oh, dang. I watched all of Billions. Okay. Upcoming Superman Legacy, Billy Knight. Okay. 2024, 2025. Miss Tessmacher. Remember Miss Tessmacher? At the kryptonite around Christopher Reeve's neck? She gave him a kiss and then took the necklace off. You know, she's like, well, I didn't think you were going to let me do it. And before I took the kryptonite off of you. So, shoot my shot, man. You know, Miss Tessmacher, man. Let me see if I can miss. I'm gonna misspell it. But y'all remember Miss Tessmacher? Look at that. Miss Tessmacher. That's what we getting. Uh-oh, that thing blocking it. Look at that. Look at that. Let me go back. Let's see if it's, there we go. She gonna be playing that. Gots to be more careful. All right, let me stop before I end up. Yep, that was corn switch joke. Okay. Okay. Corn pop. Oh, pop. Aha, I get it now. I get jokes. I just got it. I just got that. All right. Move on to the last topic real quick. Let's get out of here real quick. My thoughts on Wish. It was okay. I thought it was a Shrek ripoff, man. I'm not gonna lie. It was a bit of a Shrek ripoff. I gave it a decent review because you know how when you're at these screenings, sometimes when you give your right out of the theater review, you try to be more positive than anything else. But after I thought about it, this was just, I mean, and they didn't hide this fact, but this movie was not an original movie. This was a pat on the back movie for the 100 years. This was a combination of all Disney's body of work. I mean, Bambi was even in this damn movie. And when I thought about it today, I was like, this was a Shrek ripoff. We've seen this type of a movie already. What Shrek did with fairy tales and the cameo. Who can they? Disney did that with the same concept, but with themselves. Bambi, Thumper, the main girl's seven friends were all references to the seven dwarfs. She was a Snow White-ish character, but she was a combination of Snow White and her own fairy godmother. At one point, the conceited king, the whole, you know, who's the fairest of them all? I mean, that dude was all into himself, just like the evil queen. I mean, this was just an amalgam of a bunch of Disney movies all mushed up into one. And it could have been great, but then I finally put my finger on why it just had such a bad taste, that I had such a bad taste about it, because Shrek already did this to perfection. The whole thing with the gingerbread man and Pinocchio and things like that. I mean, we've already seen this movie, and the fact that they weren't shy about it just being a pat on the back. 100 years, baby. We did it. Woo! But if this movie would have been what the upcoming Snow White is about, is going to be. I mean, if this was live action and that, I can see a new version. Like this, it seems like the actress that's about to play Snow White saw this movie and she described this movie when, you know, she said what she said that got her into a whole bunch of trouble. This was the movie that I think that she was thinking of, that she described. It's like they showed her this movie and was like, that it's gonna be like that. But I'm like, oh, but this, was it a good movie? It was okay. I took my kids to go to a screening with it, and they weren't. My daughter is easily impressed. My daughter's very big on these types of movies. My sons are harder to impress, but my daughter was like, nobody talked about it. They didn't even say that they, you know, you put a kid on the spot. Did you like it? Yeah. They didn't like it. They did not care. And as wonderful as the character was, it's just not memorable. I don't even think she's going to be a Disney princess. Is she a fairy godmother? Maybe she's a fairy godmother. But these characters are not necessary. They're all, each and every one of them is a origin story or just an amalgam of other Disney characters. That's all this is. This was a Disney Plus special. Let me just put it like that. What made this movie, I was about to use a bad word. What did not make this movie was the fact that the songs were not memorable. There was no Let It Go in this. There was no We Don't Talk About Bruno. There was no I Can't Wait to Be King type of song. And these songs were just, the best song I think was from The King. Is this the Thanks That I Get, I think is the name of it. I think that was the best. But the song that they tried to advertise their main song to commercial, I remember watching it and I was like, that song is kind of weak in comparison to what they have done before. I mean, was the Rock not available to sing? What's going on? So I was afraid that I was going to walk in and be like, oh man, I don't think I'm going to enjoy it. It was funny at times. It had its moments. It's just that every moment that it had was just something we've seen, like I said, 100 years ago. I mean, like I said, that's exactly what the movie was. The movie delivered what it said it was going to deliver, an amalgam of a culmination of 100 years. And aren't we great? This was Disney saying, aren't we great? But so I feel there is no sequel to this. There is nothing that's neat. You just imagine that this was the source for all of Disney, and every character that's ever is probably a descendant from one of these. Let's just imagine that. And then, I mean, like the goat, I mean, I'm sure the goat, when now that he's got the magic, he's going to be able to go off and start Utopia, Zootopia somewhere, stuff like that. You know, maybe just think of it like that. It'll be, I don't know. But this movie went nowhere with me, really. And it's very easily forgettable. So that's what I felt about it. Let me know if you guys go see it. Let me know what you guys think. Geekly Good said, man, I loved Wish. I loved it. I did not. I liked it in the moment. But when I thought about it after, I felt like we've seen this already. What Shrek and DreamWorks did with Fairy Tales is what I felt like was Disney was trying to do with themselves. that's how I felt after the fact when I had time to think about it. I didn't love it. I liked it. It was okay. The goat was the best part of it. We didn't even get that thing that the king was worried about. We didn't even get this. We don't even know what that was. What happened? What was he so scared of? I thought that at the end of it, he was going to show something like a flashback where maybe, you know, he became the thing that attacked him when he was a little boy or something like that. That book was the thing that was used against his family and stuff or whatever before he learned how to fight back with his own magic or something like that. But we never really got a resolution of that. That thing that he was so afraid of happening. We not only did it not happen, we never even found out what it was, really. We only had that carpet with the images on it. It was kind of burnt up to try to decipher. I was like, what happened? Did a guy read that book that enchanted him and do all the things that we never got the lesson. I would have felt better if the king would have learned the lesson at the end and be like, oh my God, I've become the thing that I feared the most. This the same thing that happened to me when I was a little boy and blah, 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 blah. But no, that didn't happen. He was like, bitch, no, you just straight up turned into the evil queen and mirror, mirror on the wall, bitch, I'm going to kill them all. I was like, damn, he just went just straight up. Like I ain't playing around. Like I'm the best. And I just didn't think that was up to par with what we used to get with Disney. But I don't know. It's just me, man. It's just me, baby. I'm sorry. Oh man, I love both. Welcome to Rosas and Knowing What I Know Now. I mean, those songs just. I'm glad you liked it, man. But I just Those songs just didn't hit me. Maybe I was in a bad mood. I don't know. I don't feel like I'm going to watch this movie again. Usually I'll give a movie a second chance, but I will not be giving this a second chance. That's just how I feel about it. It's just, you know.
For me.
And I will not be giving Thanksgiving second chance. I almost walked out of that one. Let's see. I totally understand the criticism. I think I expected this and enjoyed the little Easter eggs. Yeah, I mean, but like I said, I enjoyed them. I was able, but I was spending time trying to explain them to my son, who I haven't exposed to a lot of the classics yet. And that's my fault. I'm a bad father, right? But they didn't get the references. The adults did, but I didn't feel like that was enough for me, especially after I felt like I think Shrek did a better job at it, if that makes sense. That's just me. Let me know what you think about it. If you you like me, am I a grumpy Gus? Or are you like, are you a grumpy Chris? Or are you a geekly good? Like, baby, did you get it? Did you get a kick out of it? Let me know what you thought about Wish. Or were you like me? I wish that I skipped. No, I'm gonna stop being mean. It wasn't that bad. It had its moments. But the second I figured out that the friend group that was acting like grumpy, and I figured out every day, I said, wait, then that's Doc, then that's Dopey, then that's Sleepy. And I was like, oh, okay, they're the seven dwarfs. Okay. Then I realized, oh, I was like, then that's when it went downhill for me. I was like, oh man, Shrek already did this to perfect, and they made fun of themselves better. Shrek kind of, I mean, I don't know. I feel like Shrek did a better job at it. I felt like what they were, but at the same time, maybe if I go back and talk to them, maybe if I watch behind the scenes, they weren't even trying to be like Shrek. But I just felt like that's what I, after I had put that thought in my head, I couldn't let it go. Anyway. Appreciate you guys for sitting with me, talking with me on a Wednesday night while we head into the holidays. I hope you guys all have a great Thanksgiving, have a good time with friends, family, or if you just want to just sit back and relax and chill out, you know, watch a movie, watch some sports ball, whatever you guys want to do. Shout out to Geekly Goods and the Dragon Daddy, Dragon Movie Guy himself. In the chats, helping me out in the comments. Shout out to those guys. Appreciate you helping me out as always. Oh man, all the food is cooked. I missed it. Oh, narts. Guess I'm just gonna have. I'll make that cranberry sauce, baby. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Till next time. Peace. Hey guys, thanks for watching this video. I really do appreciate it. Hit the subscribe button, like, and comment your thoughts on this topic or any topics that you think that we should talk about in upcoming videos. Also, you can follow us at T3 Medias on Instagram, Twitch, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and we also have a T3 Media Studios podcast where we post our movie reviews and episodes of The Rundown. Till next time, guys.